These kids are so misunderstood. They're actually really smart. It's really tough to have a kid who's struggling. Kids are using AI. They would take a picture of the math problem and tell them the answer. It shows them all the steps. Since COVID, we're completely online. We've been able to reach kids across the country. We have kids in international countries as well.
Welcome to Disruptive Minds Business Podcast. I'm your host, Tevia Holst, CEO of Takoda Accounting. Please welcome our guest today, Ann Dolan, founder and president of Educational Connections, where she leads a team of over 100 tutors to provide services in one-on-one tutoring, specific subject tutoring, executive function coaching, college counseling, and test prep for ACT, SAT, and SSAT. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you so much, Tevia.
So this conversation, just to put it out there for our listeners, is super special to me. Ann and I are both EO members in the same forum. We both find a lot of value out of EO. We might weave that into the conversation a little bit, but definitely reach out if you want to learn more about that. It's phenomenal for your business. Awesome. Okay, so Ann, the thing I love the most about you and your background is you transitioned from being an educator to owning your own company. That's a big jump from being a W-2 person to the taking the risk on yourself to be a business owner. Super disruptive right off the bat. So I want to start there. Please talk to us a little bit about, you know, how was it for you to decide to make that transition from kind of that security of the W-2 to, you know, kind of taking the risk on yourself?
It was really hard. You know, I was a teacher. I had a salary. I had a 401k and life was good. But I also didn't make a lot of money. So on the side, I would drive to kids' homes and tutor them one-to-one. And I found that, like, over time, this was my calling in life, helping kids, you know, just by myself and them. And I just saw their growth, not just in, you know, their subject material and their grades, but also their confidence soar. It just became addicting. And I would tutor more and more kids. And I realized, okay, I am just going to take a leap of faith, quit my job, and see if I can make something of it. And so I quit driving around at some point and decided to see kids sitting at my dining room table. So at that point, I just started out with one student. I had a baby at the time. And I thought, you know, I can make a go of this. Let me see what I can do.
Look where you've come. So give us a little background. Tell us how long you've been at it and just kind of what that has looked like for you.
Sure. I've been at it for 27 years. I started the company in 1998, and I've seen lots of changes over the years. You know, as an entrepreneur, somebody said, your highs are higher, but your lows are lower. And that's certainly true. And so now we employ about 125 educators, and I have a staff of 10 people that work daily on managing the business.
Oh, good for you. Getting it done. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I already pick up on with Anne that she's just so effervescent and just caring that I could only imagine, you know, being a kid and getting tutored and just feeling the encouragement. So I'm sure you really, before you had a staff, helped a lot of kids along the way and what you're doing now. So I, as a mom of an ADHD child, I certainly very much appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thanks, Tevia. And that was my journey in life too. I struggled through high school. My GPA was a 2.7 when I graduated, and it was really, really hard for me. And I came from a family of very overachieving parents, and they did not get why, you know, I couldn't pay attention and why it was so hard for me. And instead, they looked at it as a character flaw. And so I thought, you know what? These kids are so misunderstood. The kids I had in my classroom, the kids I tutored, they're actually really smart. We're just focusing on the wrong things with them. And so that's when I found that, like, helping them to be organized and plan their time and, you know, dealing with tendencies to procrastinate, that actually moved the needle more than helping them. I mean, certainly helping them with their math and reading comprehension helped too. But the overlying issue was really, we call it executive function weaknesses. And when you can help with that, it just makes life so much easier for kids, and their grades end up improving too.
Sure. Well, and I think if you're an entrepreneur listening and you have a child that might fall into one of these buckets, having that experience myself, I think one of the other things that you can gain from this is that my daughter in particular, when she feels seen and when she feels just she has someone that understands what she's going through, because she knows that, you know, I'm not diagnosed with that. And so she feels like maybe I personally don't understand all of her struggles. Just having that camaraderie helps them a lot, and having community. So it's really, really important, you know, just to help being seen. Okay, so one more educator question. So different from maybe more of a traditional entrepreneur, what would you say is different that you've brought from your educator world that has helped you in the entrepreneurial world?
You know, the industry is interesting. A lot of businesses that focus on tutoring actually really work with kids on test prep, which is the practice for the SAT and ACT. And so a lot of people that own those companies really came from elite schools. They were very, very high test scores themselves. And they focused their business around delivery of increased scores on tests. We do that too, but that is not the majority of our business. What I found is that many people in my industry actually weren't teachers to start with. So they sometimes don't get kids that struggle. And I think that's what my company brings to the table is we understand it. We get it. It, like, to, for parents, this is not your fault. You know, it's really tough to have a kid who's struggling in school, and we want to make that okay. Kind of what, to your point, Tevia, is like, we see these kids, we understand their journey. And we also know that parents have done a ton of things, like they've been the homework police, they've stayed up late at night, they've even done their kids' homework, they hire tutors. That stuff doesn't work, really. You need something that's super targeted for your child and working, as I mentioned, those executive function skills. And that's really what can make the biggest difference.
Ooh. And gave us a twofer there. So we're going to save her some time, because a later question is differentiator, you know, in your industry. So what I'm hearing in summary on that is that you guys are really coming from experience and understanding where they're coming from versus maybe just focusing on get those test scores up, you know, but we're focusing on the foundations. And again, access to more community, really, of people that understand what you're going through. So I certainly, like I said, I think that's important. So what you guys are doing is very important. Okay, so within your company or industry, we like disruption here. We like to do it different and big and loud. What is something you would consider disruptive that you've implemented in the company or seen happen in the industry?
You know, a lot of companies, I'd say in my industry, if they're mom and pop, they kind of tap out usually at like $1 million. It's really, really hard to grow your company more than that. And our company right now is a $4 million company, which I'm super proud of, but it's been really tough getting to that point. And so we've had to add services. And so what's different, I think, is that we have four main services: tutoring, test prep for the SAT and ACT, college application service, which is our latest addition, and then executive function support. And so what I found is usually companies have one, but not the other, or they have two, but not everything. And so I'd say that, you know, having a comprehensive service list for our families allows us to help kids from when they come into us in elementary school through high school and even in college. We have a program for college students. And so I think that's what our disruptor is, you know, really working empathetically with kids throughout their whole journey.
Awesome. So takeaway there, listeners, that I'm hearing as a mom with a child who's going to, you know, age through some company's programs is, one, in your company, find more lines of service that are complementary that they're going to also take part and say yes in when they've already said yes to your original service line. Secondary is some of those service lines go up the chain. You know, maybe if you're in an industry where people age out, look for what will they need next and how can we serve that. That's an incredible thing Anne has done that obviously has helped her scale her business past that initial $1 million hump. So good job for you, Anne.
Thanks, Tevia. You know, I was really afraid about adding college counseling. Now we have five college counselors. They've all been in admissions, which I think is really important. So they know what colleges are looking for in an applicant, especially in very selective schools. But it was a hard decision because we got referrals from people that were college counselors. I'm like, oh, I'd hate to give up those referrals. They're really important to my business. And so for many years, I thought about it, but I'm like, no, we're definitely not doing that. And then I had a consultant come in and say, you know, I really think you should go forward with this. And then I did the math. And I'm like, look, even if we lost those referrals, because now we're competition, but we had X amount of students, this could make it worth it. And we'd be servicing students within our company. Because now, like when people say, do you know somebody? We give them a name. And then I follow up with that person. They didn't always go forward. But if we had, you know, a little bit more cohesion around it and we said, like, I think this person's going to be great for your child. They'd be like, yeah, I know you guys. You guys are amazing. Sign me up. And so then we know that kids are getting the help they needed. And that program has taken off like I would never imagine it could have. And so I'd say to somebody out there, you know, like go all in. If you think this could work, do it on a trial basis. Try it for like 3 or 6 months. See if it can fly. We've had other programs, like we also for a time offered parent coaching. And I personally thought this would be amazing, like for parents with ADHD kids, we can help them too. And it didn't fly at all. It didn't go anywhere. And it was a ton of work. And so kind of give yourself a stopping point too. Like it may work, it may not, but it's better to have tried than to sit on the sidelines and not find another line of service.
I think that is such an important distinction of being an experienced entrepreneur, what you just said, because another takeaway here, guys, is listen to your clientele. You know, we think we know what they need, like the parenting coaching that you're talking about, and maybe that works, maybe it doesn't, but being in tune with your clientele and what they're asking for, and, you know, they were asking for the college prep from you guys because they know you, they trust you, they love how you do your service. I resonate with that a lot. We get asked from our, you know, clients all of the time to offer tax services. We don't currently do that because it's a huge referral source for us. CPAs send us, you know, the other accounting work, and that works for us. But I have, you know, definitely in the back of my mind of when is that tipping point where it's more important to give the same service that your customers love over in another area. So another great takeaway from a very experienced entrepreneur is pay attention to those customers and look for those opportunities and give the people what they want. Awesome. Okay. Specific to the education industry and doing business in that industry, what is something you find particularly challenging that you guys are constantly, you know, trying to work through or figure out?
Right now, it's about AI and kids are using AI, and every week it's a new way. But traditionally, what's happened is that kids would have, for example, when they're doing their math, an app on their phone, say Mathway. And if they wanted to skirt the work, they would take a picture of the math problem and it would tell them the answer. Okay, that's fine. And they would write the answer down. But in math, the teacher would say, but you have to show your work. Now the apps do all the work for the kids. It shows them all the steps. And so they can then just transfer that to their homework. So what we're seeing more and more of is that when parents call, let's say for a math tutor, they'll say, you know, I just don't get it. My child's working hard. They're turning in their homework. They're just not good test takers. They're not doing, their test grades are poor. And sometimes that is the case. The student is a poor test taker, but a lot of times they're so frustrated, they don't understand it, that they're using AI in the wrong way. And so when we work with them, we want to make sure they understand, you know, how to solve the problem and work through the steps. But we will say, like, on your own, you know, if you're super, super stuck and you've tried the problem, you've worked through it, you can then go back and ask AI for help and see the steps. But that shouldn't be your go-to. And I think that's really what's happening in education now, is instead of writing a first draft or coming up with a brainstorm for an essay, they're like right out of the gate going to AI. And so, you know, we see our role as educators as saying, you know, we know we're not going to stop them from using it at all. And we don't want to, but we do know that there's a way that you can use it responsibly. And so that's our goal for kids, that they know how to use it and that they also know how to do the work. So they're getting better test grades.
Sure. Yeah. Bonus question on that, I'm going to throw out. So I think there's a lot of relatability across industries in that, because one thing I hear a lot is, it, regardless of industry, employees are using AI for marketing, for content creation, for emails. But just like the homework, they might not be, you know, maybe checking it or verifying the information the same way the students are. And so you're finding that people are getting, you know, messages that are incomplete or that aren't good information because they're kind of, in a way, getting lazy and leaning on AI too much. And we're not there yet in AI that it does need to be verified. It needs to be checked. We need to still be doing the work. So I'm interested, specific to education, where do you see where it is a positive use or how it's going to work into the education system? Because like my particular case, I'm an entrepreneur, right? So I am very like, figure it out, find a new solution. If there's a wall, can you go around, over, under, whatever? And I try to implore that in my daughter because I don't believe in one way is the only way, you know, with exception of some industries, that's the only way to do something. But school, I have found, you know, they want you to show the math one single way. They want you to do the process one single way, which is why kids are sometimes going to the AI, because they don't yet know that way themselves, or, you know, having your tutors help them. So where do you see where that's a positive, that they can, everything can kind of live in one world, I guess, and you can, I guess, be successful with the tools that we have? Because my view is I struggle with school because I'm like, where do we ever in the world not have an opportunity where we can pause and we can look something up, or we can get help, or we can ask a question? You know, it's a rare industry, maybe like a surgeon, that they're in the middle of a surgery and they can't pause. But most of us entrepreneurs, we can hit pause and we can say, I'm going to go look up this financial fact or what have you. So I'm just interested as an educator, where do you see where we need process and we need them to do it a specific way, but how does that relate to the real world where sometimes the solution is find another way?
Well, I think we're seeing a big shift in education, and we are seeing that schools are having to adapt. They're having to change their curriculum. They're having to try different ways. And now in most schools, instead of like, here's one way to solve this long division problem, or here's how you always have to use a Pythagorean theorem, we are seeing that teachers and schools are being more adaptable and saying like, there's actually a couple of ways to solve this. And so I do think we're moving in that direction. But I think overall, it just needs to be a more global approach. Much of what we're teaching kids is honestly very antiquated. It doesn't really have a role in today's society. But the problem is that education is so slow going. It's going to take many, many years before we see change. However, you know, as kids get older, I think the key is to be able to challenge themselves. So if you can help kids when they're younger be flexible thinkers, think of it a couple of ways, teach kids estimating skills, which is really helpful when they're younger. When they're older and take more challenging classes like AP or IB classes, that is really key, because they will learn critical thinking skills in those courses that will absolutely help them in college and in real life. And so, you know, I think it's okay to say, is there another way you can solve this? Your teacher showed you this way. Tell me that, you know, another way that you're thinking about it, and allow kids to be expressive. And I think we're going that way in education, but we still have a long ways to go.
Sure. Well, I think the answer to there is get involved, have a voice. And, you know, if it's your children or other children, you're helping the community. So definitely support education and where it can go, because it's, of course, very important for our children and our future entrepreneurs. Awesome. Okay, couple more here for our listeners. With 3 decades of entrepreneurial experience under your belt, if you're talking to someone whose early stages are starting over, what is something you would throw out that maybe you learned along the way that if you'd known it sooner would be helpful?
One thing I didn't do early on was to examine my own personal weaknesses and hire around them. Because I was a very good educator, I just thought like, oh, I can figure this out, but I just could not get the bookkeeping. I was completely overwhelmed by it. I didn't invoice people on time. My husband, on weekends, we would work long days, and he would do my bookkeeping, even though he's not trained in that. But I wish that I had hired a bookkeeper sooner. That would have saved me a lot of headache. The other thing I wish I did earlier was to start tracking things more responsibly. Like, I had no idea how many calls came in, how many students we had, what my conversion rate was, how people heard about us. None of that. And so now we're super diligent in how we track things. And I would say get a super simple tracking method, but be able to track, you know, how many customers, how many calls are you getting? You know, how are you, what is your process for converting those calls? All of those basic things you need to run a business, start doing that from the get-go instead of being in this situation like I was, like, well, I don't know. And I'm completely overwhelmed. And now I have all these tutors. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, start from the get-go of figuring out what your metrics are.
Yeah, very, very important. So takeaway there, guys, is data is your friend. Especially, I think my red flag is when I'm feeling stress or anxiety, I ask myself, how can I change this to a database decision? And if I don't have that in place, what do I need to make it database and take the emotion out of it? Because if you're tracking things correctly, if you have good financials, if you have good, you know, marketing metrics, go to the numbers. That's your answer. And it can take a lot of stress away. So that's super, super good information. Thank you. Okay. So along with that, I'll skip to what I like to do, our financial facts segment, which is, as an entrepreneur of a seven figure company, what financials help keep you at ease? What KPIs do you watch? What are some little nuggets there you can give that somebody else might be able to track?
Sure. Well, I have a bookkeeper and I have also a fractional CFO, but I also have a manager on my business who is like a freak about metrics, which I am not. Like, I do, that stresses me out, although I know that they're super vital. I like people. but she tracks things every day that are really important to us. For example, what are our sales? Like, what money do we bring in each day? What are our intakes? And an intake to us is a call that a parent had booked and initiated and that we had. And then what are our mind opportunities? So a mind opportunity is not that it's an incoming call to us, but we've reached out to somebody maybe we worked with in the past that isn't working with us now. And can we get those people back as clients? That's, we call those mind contacts. So how many of those did we get each day? And then on a weekly basis, she reports that information to me with each line of sale. So with each program, this is what, how we're doing. These are our numbers, and compares that against a monthly goal. So every month we have a financial goal and we're always working towards that. And each month I also run the P&L for the month and then also year to date. And then in addition to that, she reports our quarterly, how many students we have, what was that compared to last year? So we're constantly looking at metrics, and she's reporting that to me so that I don't have to be the one initiating that. And that makes my life so much better.
Yes. Yeah. I think the visionary seat is one where you do need to insert that person for you that is passionate about the numbers and the details and the day-to-day and can report up to you, because it's very common that it's just not best use of our time. So one follow-up question to that, when you do have a factor that comes on those KPIs that is not where you want it to be, what kind of levers are you pulling for your specific business where you're seeing a positive impact on that works for you guys?
Yeah, that happens all the time. You know, we'll run something for a month, maybe it will be off a little bit. And if we see it again for another month, we're always jumping in and taking action. For example, we saw that our college counseling program was off compared to last year, the first part of the year. And so we took action right away and we're like, okay, what can we do to buoy this program for right now? And we decided that we would add a college week. And a college week is Monday through Thursday, a series of webinars for parents. We do about 50 webinars a year. They're a huge source of revenue for us because parents listen in and they'll like what we have to say. They'll call us about services. But we're doing one dedicated just to college planning. And so that will, I think that will help us to move the needle. But we've also, before we planned that, we planned another series of videos that we sent out to parents. And so when we see something's low, we jump in and we make changes to it. The problem sometimes, though, is that what I've noticed is we'll jump in, we'll change something like college counseling. And then if we don't pay attention to the other things, then they will go down. So it's kind of like whack-a-mole. So what we've realized over the years is, okay, we're going to pay attention to this, but like, let's still focus on this, you know, because if you just focus too much on one thing, you ignore the other, that will have issues too. So it's kind of like you have, you know, you're always looking around you and periphery vision. What can I focus on? But I got to pay attention to these things too.
A whole world of what is it? Multitasking. That's the entrepreneurial game, right?
Yes. Good.
Awesome. Well, you're such a wonderful resource. And I mean, we not only get nuggets in this episode for business that were phenomenal, but you know, even most of us have kids. So to be considering that, it's just wonderful, wonderful resource. So last but not least, what are some goals that you're looking to get a hold of and make a difference on for your business?
Well, it's interesting, Tavia. Prior to COVID, we were a regional business. We had an office in Northern Virginia. We served kids in DC, Maryland, and Northern Virginia. And now, since COVID, we're completely online. Our tutors went to kids' homes back then. So we've been able to reach kids across the country, and that's been huge for us. And so we want to expand our geographic reach. We have kids in 8 international countries as well.
Wow.
And so we want to be able to serve kids outside of the DC area, even more so in states that may not have access to services in person, but also where parents, you know, have the need for things like executive function, which they may not have heard of or that they don't know is really what's going on with their child. So our goal is to reach more kids geographically.
Well, I mean, there was a lot that happened in COVID, but a lot of adaptation in the entrepreneurial world. And congratulations to you for grabbing that and using it as an opportunity to help more kids. Because I know that was a time where kids were very much struggling. I did some at-home teaching and that was not easy. So I'm sure that there's a lot of gaps to be filled with the tutoring. So awesome.
Thank you,
Anne, for being here today. Listeners, thank you for being here and taking part in our episode. Again, I am Tavia Holst, CEO of Takota Accounting, and Anne Dolan from Educational Connections. Thank you for your awesome discussion today.
Have a great day, everybody.